I got an email from the Greens in Taiwan. Said, glory to God, we had three souls saved this morning at Tandaz Bible Baptist Church. When we have new professors of faith or newcomers to the church, we encourage them right away to begin basic Bible discipleship classes. This evening, we have three young ladies who have committed to begin discipleship classes. One of these is from a fundamental Baptist church in the Philippines. Today, we had a first-time visitor, Guo Wen Chi, at the Daya Bible Baptist Church, who is a new college student in Taiwan from Harbin, China. She professed faith in our Lord and Savior, but she was from one of the China-approved churches, so I wanted to talk with her in detail about her salvation. Going through the scriptures about salvation, she was quite certain that she was saved. Praise God for the wonderful work he's doing among people even in China who don't have the religious freedoms like we have. Thank you for praying and supporting us to serve God here in Taiwan. That's Dave Green, missionary. So praise the Lord for those being saved. They have people saved almost every week. More of it is Filipinos who are there working temporarily for a period of time. And the people they have with the Filipino church work real hard at inviting others. They'll live in the same areas when they work in all the different places. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We've been looking on Sunday nights at the second coming of Christ, dealing with both the rapture and the second advent when he returns to the earth at the close of the tribulation. One day the trumpet's going to sound to gather God's people. We should be listening for the trumpet. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The dead in Christ will rise first, because the Lord brings their spirit back to return to their new body that will be given at the same time those who are living receive a new body. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse number 8, the apostle said, "For we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So when believers die, they go in their spirit to be with the Lord. And the Lord will bring those spirits with him when he comes for what we call the rapture. And their dead bodies will rise from the grave, and they will receive a new body like his body. And if we are alive at his coming, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we shall go through a transformation at that point. Now these folks are absent from their bodies, but they're present with the Lord. The unbelieving dead are in hell, waiting for the day of judgment, waiting for the great white throne found in Revelation 20 and verse number 11, if you want to turn over there. They will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And you're secure, you're safe, you're protected. You're waiting for a new body like Christ's body. You're looking forward to Jesus coming to take us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. Now, first of all, tonight, imagine the rapture happens in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 52. And this is going to evacuate every saved person on earth to go to heaven to be with the Lord and protect them from the time of judgment that is going to come upon all the world. It'll be people from every tribe and every tongue. They'll be all caught up together. Imagine only the unsaved will be left behind. It'll happen suddenly. All the saved will be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, just this last week, 3 million people were told to evacuate because of the hurricane. 3 million people. Now, imagine if somebody didn't watch the news and they didn't know what was going on, and they woke up and they walked outside their house and there was nobody anywhere around. 3 million people had evacuated and they'd been left behind. That's kind of like what's going to happen with the rapture. All the saved are going to heaven and all the lost are going to be left behind. The problem is there's going to be a lot more than 3 million left behind, you know. But all the believers will be evacuated. In 2007... in California, the largest evacuation took place there that was recorded. 350,000 homes, over 1 million people evacuated because 16 fires swept through a section of California. That was just in 2007. Imagine if somebody woke up there smelling smoke, went outside and beat on their neighbor's door and there was nobody there, and went down the street and beat on somebody else's door and nobody was there. They were left behind. Other people had got the news and were evacuated and got away to safety. Now, the Bahamas just experienced the worst hurricane they've had in many, many years, and got not just a bad hit with it, 175, 185 mile an hour winds, but it hung around on top of them for 36 hours. It just kept destroying and kept dumping water and kept doing all those things. It just circled and circled and circled. It was only moving 1 mile per hour. And once it started toward the coast of Florida, it was moving about 6 and 8 miles per hour as it went up the coast. But the winds within the circle were up to 185 miles per hour with gusts to 225. The devastation that it brought, the lives that were lost. All those poor people were told and warned the hurricane was bearing down on top of them. If they could evacuate, they were to evacuate. The problem is most of them had nowhere to go. When you live on an island, where are you going to evacuate to? If you don't own your own airplane, or you know, you don't can't get a ticket to get out, or don't have anybody that lives somewhere you can fly to and stay with. Now, our daughter and son-in-law and their children live in Georgetown, South Carolina. They evacuated and came and stayed at the Parish Motel in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Same place they stay every time they have to evacuate. And they get fed good and they got a bed to sleep in and all of that sort of thing, you know. So we were glad to help them and enjoyed having them up. And I'm glad they had somewhere they could go to, because every family doesn't have that opportunity. We went to Benjamin and Abby's school this week. It was Grandparents' Day, and so we went over early in the morning and heard a little program for Grandparents' Day there on Thursday and Friday. And one of the teachers, I believe it was Benjamin's teacher on Friday, said that she was so delighted to see so many grandparents there, and for all the kids to get to see their grandparents. She said her grandchildren live in Washington State, and said being a school teacher, she can't take off during the school year, and them living in Washington State, she, you know, didn't get to see them very often at all. And if their school had a grandparents' day, she wouldn't be able to go. So she was really glad that her school kids got to have their grandparents in. Imagine the rapture takes place and millions of people will be missing from the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 17 says we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That expression in the Greek is one word, harpazo. In the Latin translation, it is the word rapturo. Both mean to be carried away by force. Rapturo from the Latin is a part of the same word for rape. It means a forcible seizure. Jesus Christ has the power to deliver his people, and he can do it in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. There'll be a great danger to those that will be left behind. It's going to be far worse than a hurricane. It's going to be far worse than 16 fires sweeping through California, burning homes and forests and all those things. Now, many signs in the Bible point to the return of Jesus Christ to the earth at the end of the tribulation, where he will fight the battle of Armageddon and then set up his kingdom upon this earth. But only a few scriptures reveal the rapture, and it was not spelled out to the Old Testament saints in the sense of the judgment that is coming was spelled out unto them. The rapture will be an imminent return, meaning it could happen at any moment. We are told to look for his coming. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, we're taught to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for his coming, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we've had, in 40 years of church here, we had an awful lot of ladies who have given birth. My wife gave birth to our youngest the night we moved into this building right here. 1985, Rebecca was born. I wasn't here for Wednesday night prayer meeting. Lyle Ferguson had prayer with the congregation. I was at the hospital with Joy giving birth to Rebecca. And y'all know the story, how a man came by here that worked on the construction of the building. He wanted to get saved, and they called me at the hospital, and I met him in the parking lot at Hardee's over on Cherry Road. There used to be a Hardee's on Cherry Road. It's not anymore. I think it's a Mexican restaurant or something now. And I went over and met him in the parking lot and led him to Christ, praise the Lord. And him and his family were the first ones to get baptized in that baptistry back there. And he had been the one that had to clean it out when they installed it and painted and all that sort of thing. A lot of ladies have given birth. And you know, most families, when the wife is expecting, the parents, the husband, they pack a bag. The wife usually packs the bag if she wants the right things in there, you know, instead of the husband doing it. She packs a bag, sets it over by the door, and they got a little plan, you know. Sometimes they, if they're not actually from that area, sometimes what they'll do, they'll get in the car and they'll make a trial run. They'll go over to the hospital, make sure, see how long it takes them to get there, you know. Make sure there's other routes they can take in case the traffic's bad. And the parents will know how to get there and know how to be there when the baby's born and all that sort of thing. And they're expecting. That's what they call it when a woman's pregnant. She's expecting. She's expecting a baby is what she's expecting. She's expecting pain and agony and all that she goes through to give birth. Well, we try to get prepared as much as we can, but quite often we get surprised. We had a lady who was a member of the church here for many years. She lived in TGK, and her last child was born. She gave birth in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. A little bit late. She didn't have a car, nobody to take her. Her husband was at work or somewhere, you know. She had to call an ambulance. Time the ambulance got there and got her in the car, started up. They had to stop on the road coming out of TGK and let her give birth in the ambulance. They weren't as prepared as they needed to be. They were caught unaware. And all the unsaved are going to be caught unaware when we go to heaven to be with the Lord. Jesus is coming, and we've got our bag packed. We're expecting. We're looking. We could even jump around a little bit and try to take a trial run. You know, I'm looking forward to going home to be with the Lord. But the unsaved are going to be caught unaware. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says it will be sudden. It'll happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's a time that we're to recognize the seasons that we are closer to the coming of the Lord today than we have been in the past. In Romans 13, we've looked at this passage before in this study. Romans 13, verse 11, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We're to put off the attitudes of indifference and unconcern, not thinking about the coming of the Lord, not being expectant about meeting the Lord. We're to put those attitudes off. We're to withdraw ourselves from any works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We're to walk honestly and in the light with the Lord. We're not to be in, as he said in Romans 11, in verse 13, we're not to have sexual misconduct, wantonness, and chambering, excess, and the absence of restraint. One author said this basically means shameless conduct. And there are plenty in the world that live shameless conduct almost daily. We were just talking about this guy that came out to the campground out there at the lake Friday night. Police were chasing him. He ran through the guard gate, broke the guard gate. They just put a new one up. He ran through it and broke it, knocked down one of the signs, went on down the road and went through a heavy wooden fence down there. He drove through the wooden fence and then hit one of the canopies, the 4x4 posts that hold it up. He knocked them out, and so the roof came down on top of the ground. And then he dove in the water trying to swim away and get away from the police. But enough police came. They were searching for him everywhere, and somebody told on him. Said they saw him go in a camper up there, so they went up there and got him and carried him off to jail, you know. Bad conduct. He wasn't thinking about he's going to have to answer for his actions. But all men are going to answer for their actions one day before the Lord. Believers are not to be in drunkenness and rioting and strife and envying and all these things. As believers, we're to live a life with a testimony of Christ and a difference in our life and be walking with the Lord. Put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Because now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Referring to the end of our salvation, the new body, the going home to be with the Lord, the completion of our salvation. When Christ comes, it'll be sudden. We won't have time to, when we see the Lord coming in the clouds and we're caught up to him, we won't have time to call anybody on the phone. Even if you got them on speed dial, you won't be able to get a hold of anybody and say, hey, you better repent, the Lord's coming. It's going to be too late. It'll be a surprise event. Too late to prepare then, but we can know now that it's going to happen in a moment. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. It's going to be imminent. It could happen at any time. Thirdly, he's coming for believers only. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 23, Bible tells us that he comes for his own. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. We who belong to Christ will be going with him when he comes. In the judgment day, Jesus says to the religious lost, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But to you as believers, you are his own. He knows you. He's coming for you. He knows you by name. And he will call us up to heaven to be with him. He said in verse 58 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. what we do for God is not in vain, because God is going to bring the reward with him when he comes. The rapture is for believers. It is selective. It is closed. There won't be time for people to repent at that time. It'll be too late for that. When the rapture takes place, it'll happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be with the Lord, and the lost will be left behind. And they will have to endure the tribulation on this earth. And if they survive, they may have an opportunity in the tribulation to be saved. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he shouted with a loud shout, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was in the tomb that had been dead for 4 days came forth from the tomb. Christ is going to call the dead in Christ up, and we which are alive remain to meet them in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. There are three primary Greek words that are used to refer to Christ's coming. Parousia, used 15 times, meaning arrival, or his presence with us, referred to as his coming in 1 Thessalonians 4:15, in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Scripture says in chapter 2 and verse number 8, "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." And so that coming, his presence to come and be with us, it is used about 15 times referring to his coming, the coming of the Lord. Second word is epiphania, an epiphany. 5 times it's used as a manifestation or glorious appearing, as in Titus 2 in verse number 13. And 2 Thessalonians 2:8 here, "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming," with his epiphany, his revelation of himself. And that's the third word that is used. Epiphany is used about 5 times. And then the revelation itself, apocalypsis, 5 times, meaning an unveiling. Translated in 1 Corinthians 1:7, the coming of the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians 1:6 and 7, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven. In Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. All of these are referring to his coming, or his revelation, or his revealing. And Jesus is coming again. There are differences between the rapture and what we call the second advent, or return of Christ to the earth. There are signs for his return coming back to this earth, many. But there are just some scriptures that deal with the rapture. The place we meet the air with the rapture is different from where Christ returns to the earth in the second advent. In the rapture, Christ calls us up to heaven to be with him forevermore. In the return, the angels of the Lord gather the nation of Israel together. In the rapture, we're caught up. In the return, believers will enter into the kingdom after Christ returns to this earth. The rapture delivers us from the hour of temptation that's coming upon all the world. The return will happen after the 7 years of tribulation on this earth. And those last 3.5 years are a time of Jacob's trouble, a time of judgment and wrath poured out upon the earth. The rapture is only for believers. But when the return happens, the Bible says every eye shall see him when he comes back to this earth to fight the battle and to judge the nations. The return of the Lord and the rapture of the saints are all a part of what we call the second coming of Jesus Christ. We must not get lackadaisical about the Lord's return. We should be looking and expecting his return at any time. Let's stand together, please. I'll ask Miss Gwen just to play through a verse of an invitational hymn. If you need someone to counsel with you, or if you want to come up here to the altar and pray, you're welcome to do that. But if you're not sure you're saved, please let us counsel or take the Bible and talk with you tonight and share God's word with you.